The conference will now begin.
Okay, assalamu alaikum. Hopefully, I don't know if anybody's here, but if someone's on the phone, can someone just say that they're here and they can hear me clearly? Okay, probably no one's on the phone. Anyway, so let's begin here. Let's begin. So we're on Halakha Beis, Baruch Hashem. We finished Halakha Aleph, which is a tremendous because it's one of the biggest yesodos in all of Torah's breastworth, and really all of Chassidus at its penius. And now we're going to continue with Halakha Beis. Halakha Beis, we're still in the first Sefer Shulchan Aruch, like we discussed, that Rabbi Nachman based his Sefer L'Kutei Halachot on Shulchan Aruch, and then he expanded it. Like he expanded. So Rabbi Nachman starts off, and Barry's joining for the first time, I don't know. We're using the Breslov Research Institute's new edition that just came out, which is Hebrew and English. So often we use the notes on the bottom. So let's start. Halacha Beis. Yizgadr keli lamod baboker, lavoida zvoro shehu ma'ur ha'shacha. You have to get up. You have to strengthen yourself with a lion. First halacha and Shulchan Aruch. To strengthen yourself with the wine in the morning to rise up. You need to wake up the shachar. You need to wake up the morning. We discussed, this is the first discussion of Rabbi Nachman for many, 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 many pages, was we have to wake up the darkness, wake up the night through using our Yehudas Togos. But here we're going to go on a different path. And he quotes the Ramah, the Ramah says, Shavisesh on the Negi Summit. It says, Dawud HaMelech, I always set Hashem before me. Zekhal Godolatov. That's a klal gadol, that's a major rule, which of course is totally dependent on one's search and one's finding of Inkudas Tovos Nevuchos. That's the first sif in Shulchan Aruch. But the Shulchan Aruch goes on. Up until now, we've always been discussing sif Aleph, or halacha Aleph, or nothing. But the Shulchan Aruch goes on and says, Shiroi kol yirei shemayim. It is proper for every yirei shemayim, everyone who fears heaven. Shiei neitzar v'doreg achulben b'sa mikdash. That one should be very bothered, very pained over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Shulchan Aruch does not mention Tikkun Chatzos. However, that's how the Chassidim, especially Breslovers, and amongst others, that's what they do. They wake up by Chatzos and they cry and they daven over the Mikdash, Tikkun Leah, Tikkun Rachel. So, in this edition of L'Kutei Halachos, what they did was generally Rabbi Nachman starts off his halakha, always based on Rabbi Nachman, always based on L'Kutei Moran. So Rabbi Nachman often sums up the Torah of Rabbi Nachman and he's going to base his entire halakha on very quickly. And he always tells you you have to look inside L'Kutei Moran properly to learn it up so you understand what I'm saying. Some people do, some people don't. But usually he gives at least a little bit of a hakdama. In this halakha, he does not give any hakdama, and therefore the BRI Institute, they themselves, based on their Kitzur L'Kutei Moran, they brought down. So on page 86, they bring down a lot of the Hakdama that we need to prepare ourselves to learn. So for a day or two or three, we'll basically go through Torah, Yud Gimel, Rabbi Nachman, very quickly, in order that we're prepared that we can learn this halacha for Rabbi Nachman. So if you have the Sefer on page 86, if you don't, follow along, I'll read slow. So on page 86, they say like this. This discourse is based on the lesson Ashrei Ha'am, which is L'Kutei Moran Torah Yud Gimel, in which Rabbi Nachman teaches how one can become the focus of Hashem's divine providence. Divine providence, which we also translate as Hashgacha Pratis. So look, if you have this Sefer, look at number 4 on the bottom. Hasidic teaching refines the meaning of Hashgacha. Divine providence, defining it as Hashem's careful, caring, watchfulness, and direct personal supervision, Hashgacha Pratis, of everything that exists, all animate matter, plants, animals, and humanity. For man, Hashgacha more specifically signifies Hashem's ongoing active participation in every aspect of his life, every moment of one's life. When they're thinking, when they're feeling, whether they're speaking, whether they're acting, every single moment is run by Hashem's Hashgacha. That's what we call Hashgacha Pratis. purpose. It's detailed for each and every person specifically. And he continued, they continue in the note, his providing each person with the necessary means to serve him and make his imminence, i.e., the divine presence, known in the world. This is eminently apparent when with regard to one's livelihood, one of the greatest sugyas that we're all involved with every single second. Parnasa, livelihood. A person who has bitachon, trust in Hashem, believing that Hashem alone provides for all of his needs, will earn his income honestly and make sure to set aside time for Torah study, prayer, and doing this. And in number five, they say, Hashgacha is thematically related to Rosh Hashanah, the day in which Rabbi Nachman taught this lesson. Rabbi Nachman taught Torah Yudimel on Rosh Hashanah. The Torah alludes to this connection in the verse. The pasuk says, the eyes of Hashem, your God, are upon it, which is referring there to Eretz Yisrael, are upon it continuously from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Chazal teach on Rosh Hashanah, all the world's inhabitants pass before him in judgment and are examined in a single glance. The Creator sees their hearts together and considers all their deeds. Rosh Hashanah is also known as Yom HaDin, the Day of Judgment. The Zohar teaches on Rosh Hashanah, the forces of judgment are especially predominant and require hamtaka, sweetening, or the translation mitigation. So we're talking about here Hashgacha, Hashgacha process, that Rabbi Nachman is going to teach us, and then ultimately Rabbi Nachman is going to continue to teach us, how can we be Zohar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha, and specifically Rabbi Nachman says Hashgacha Shalema, a full Hashgacha. You imagine you have a teacher in a room, he walks into the class and he has 20 students, and of course he's looking at all of them all the time. And with one child, though, when he's speaking to one child, he focuses on that child. And he sees everybody else in the periphery. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the whole world, of course, at all times. And he sees it to a degree that we can't even imagine. But the way he runs this world, in the Olam HaAsiyah that we live in, where he's mitzamtzim himself, in the world of Malchus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has something called Hashgacha Pratis, where he specifically focuses his attention on a person or on people, depending on their actions, and we'll discuss how we could be zocher to that. So the teacher sometimes focuses on one child, even if he sees everybody else in the periphery. Now, we discussed, we have a Chabura, for those who know, we have a Chabura Wednesday night, and we just, we mamash just finished the Torah. And we discussed, we added a little bit, and it came out according to our understanding that the highest level of Hashgacha is not only when the teacher is focusing specifically on one child, but it's when the child is focusing on the teacher. Because you could have a teacher walk into a classroom, and he gives an assignment, and he's watching each boy work on the assignment. But each boy is looking at the assignment, they're not looking at the Rebbe. So the Rebbe is focusing on the child is not focusing on the Rebbe. The highest yichud, the highest madrig of Hashgacha Pratis is when a Kodesh Baruch Hu is looking at you, or I, me, and we are looking right back at him. When our eyes meet, like the Prophet says, the eyes of Hashem, your God, are upon it continuously. It's referring to Eretz Yisrael, but in Pnimius, it's referring to each person who's zocher to be in the eyesight of Hashem. We will discuss in the next day or two, how do you get into that eyesight of a Kodesh Baruch Hu? How do you get into his range of vision? How do you become aligned with where a Kodesh Baruch Hu is looking? Because if you're in his range, if you're aligned with Hashem's eyesight, then you're going to be zocher to a very high level of Hashgacha, which of course we want to be. So let's continue for a minute. So we want to get this Hashgacha. To benefit, says, the benefit they bring down. To benefit from Hashem's full Hashgacha, if you want to be zocher to that Hashgacha Hashem, what do you do? A person first has to break his excessive desire for money, which is obviously not the Pashit. You have to break your tithes moment. When this desire burns inside a person's heart, it is akin to idolatry. So let's read number 7 here, where they bring down 3 madrigas of tithes moment. Tithes moment, they bring down number 7. The lust for money is most apparent in a person who makes it his life's mission to amass even greater wealth. That's what he wants to do. He wants to make more and more kinyanim in this world. He wants to own more and more stock in this world. He can't even use all the money. He can't use all the houses and the cars and all the jewelry and whatever that he amasses. But the more he amasses, the better he feels, the more deeply rooted in this world he feels. And he believes that this world is the end all be all. Lacking emunah, Lacking faith in Hashem, he instead puts his bitachon in money, mistakenly believing that the more he has, the more secure and fulfilling his life will be. And we know a few years ago I heard about this, I don't know what this exact thing is, it's beta coin. I don't know who coined it first, but not, no pun intended. Beta coin sounds like bitachon. It was a good play on words. Beta coin and bitachon. Where is your real faith? What do you trust in? Kodesh Baruch Hu or the fake money? They bring down a subtler, so that's the first madrega, which is a very deep madrega. It's hard to even know if you're involving yourself in that type of type. It's moments where you just want to amass more and more. And it doesn't always have to be that you have millions upon millions of dollars. A person who has enough to live, but yet he still continues to grow and amass more and more, and again, it could be much, much less than millions of dollars, depending on what you need to live, then you might also be under the category of type at the moment. And you'll never be zochet to the Hashgacha Shleima if we don't break that. Let's finish this note before we end for today. A subtler form of Taibet's moment is found in one who understands the foolishness of pursuing wealth. He gets it. It's absolutely ridiculous. But whose attachment to money manifests as miserliness. He refuses to give. Lacking a generous spirit, he is loath to part with his wealth, and so he is stingy in giving charity and tzedakah, and tight-fisted with strangers and family alike. Becomes very selfish with his mammon. A third, even more subtle and far more widespread form of private mammon is when a person worries and grows anxious about not having enough money. His distress indicates a lack of it in his emunah and bitachon, an inability to rely on Hashem to provide him with livelihood without his having to sacrifice his whole life there. Through my jigger, the private mammon, either person wants to constantly amass and amass and amass, more and more and more. Two, he doesn't care about amassing, but he's not giving up his money. Or three, he's always nervous that he's not going to have, he's not able to focus, not able to have reliance on the Kodesh Baruch Hu. These are the three types of Taibas Mammon that prevent a person from getting close to the Hashgacha of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. They're akin to idolatry. One more line. It therefore awakens Hashem's burning anger and arouses the demons. When a person is involved in Taibas Mammon, and uses money like it's a god, like it's an idol, then it is going to arouse Hashem's wrath, it's charon af, the Nachman says. And it's going to arouse demons. It's going to cause his life and the world to be in a bad matcha, not a bad situation. The agency of suffering and misfortune in the world. One more note, number 8. Hilkhot Gemara number 180, that money, coins, dollars, and demons, din in this world, constriction of God's light, share the same spiritual root on high. So money comes from a very, very high place, but it could be misused. And therefore, when it comes from a high place and you misuse it, it's going to come crashing down in a very powerful way. There's also a person with Taibas Mammon, earning a living is fraught with hardship and difficulty. Like Adam, after he sins, his sustenance will come through suffering by the sweat of his brow. When you become exacting in money, when you want to just amass and amass, or you become very exacting, you don't want to give, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is exacting on you, he brings din, constriction, into your life and into the world. So the first step to being zochet, Hashgacha Shleima, Hashem will watch over us in a very careful way, and we'll be zochet to see him. The first madrega is to recognize that we have the Yonam of Taibas Mammon and start to break it. Represent tomorrow, we'll continue with this Hakdama, speaking at specifically what is the avoda that one can do to break that Taiva. What can one do in the world of action that he can break the Taibas Mammon? And then we'll continue, Mr. Hashem, to continue on, and then we'll finally get to Rabbi Nachman Palocha, how he expands and teaches us what he wants to teach us. Okay, everybody should have a beautiful day.